Thank you, Professor Rees and Mary, Professor Kiedis. I think Professor Rees has stolen all my good lines, and Mary's stolen all my jokes, so I'm not sure that I have much left. However, I would like to begin, first of all, with a status update, because there has been a change since December last year and the present moment, and it is as a result of our very strong supporters. Many of you are in this room at the moment, others are sitting on these two chairs here, and many other people in countries across the world that have kept us safe. The change in position can be understood by looking at what the Australian government was doing last year. The Australian government, under the surface, had been involved in giving information and speaking to intelligence agencies from other countries about us. But it engaged in a public attack, set up what it called a whole-of-government inquiry into us, publicly stating that that would involve ASIO, the Domestic Intelligence Service, ASIS, the Foreign Intelligence Service, the Department of Defence, the AFP, the equivalent of the FBI in Australia, and the Australian Attorney General's Department. The Australian Attorney General, Robert McClellan, said that we could not, and I could not, from the safety of my office, publish, and he would assist any country anywhere in the world to prosecute. He also stated that as an Australian travelling overseas, they would attempt to revoke my passport. And 2 weeks later decided not to revoke my passport, using the statement that the Australian government and its partners found it helpful for tracking my movements. This year, the Australian government has found that we breached no Australian laws in any of our activities. The public inquiry by the Domestic Intelligence Service, ASIO, has stopped. The foreign inquiry by ASIS has stopped. And the Australian Federal Police inquiry, which the Attorney General said might take up to 18 months, has stopped. Been wound up and found that we had engaged in no crimes. That is not due to the good sense of the Australian Labor government. It is not due to the good sense of the people it was working with in Washington. It is entirely due to the Australian people and the people who fight for us. So I would like to draw people's attention to that and understand that your actions have made a difference. But there are inquiries that have not stopped and have not been wound up. The CIA publicly declared a WikiLeaks task force. The Pentagon publicly declared a 120-man operation into us, working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When it was revealed that the CIA had its own special dedicated task force, the reaction of the majority of the press was not to go, is this acceptable that there is a publicly declared CIA task force into a publishing organization? Rather, the media as a whole was very effectively spun. The name of the task force, WikiLeaks task force, was WTF. What the fuck? And of course, everyone just went, oh, what a joke. What a joke. The task force, WTF. Isn't that funny? No, it's not funny that there is a dedicated CIA task force into our organization. That is not funny. That is serious. It's not funny when the CIA received Freedom of Information requests asking about whether the CIA had information about any plots or plans to assassinate me, and refused to confirm or deny whether it did or did not. That is not funny. That is very serious. And it's not just serious for me. It is serious for our staff, our volunteers, and for our sources. It is serious for those people being called to the secret grand jury investigation in Alexandria, Virginia, on Wednesday, called to testify in secret, trying to establish an espionage connection between me and our volunteers and the young military intelligence soldier, Bradley Manning. The real value of this award and the Sydney Peace Foundation is that it makes explicit the link between peace and justice. It does not take the safe, feel-good option of shunning controversy by uttering platitudes. Instead, it goes into difficult terrain by identifying organizations or individuals who are directly engaged in struggles of one kind or another. With WikiLeaks, there is no doubt that we are all engaged in a struggle, a generational struggle for the proposition that is no more radical than that citizens have a right, indeed a duty, to scrutinise the state and to scrutinise states. I always keep in mind something that was said by the great poet and novelist Mae Sarton, that you have to think like a hero in order to merely act like a decent human being. And there's a wonderful scene in The Russia House, a movie based on John le Carré's novel, where a whistleblower pleads with a potential publisher, "Promise me that if I ever find the courage to think like a hero, you will act like a merely decent human being." And that has always been our promise to whistleblowers and sources, that if you have the courage to act like a hero, then we will have the courage to act like merely decent human beings as publishers. And that is why we have never unpublished anything that we have published. No matter what kind of threats have been leveled against us, we have never yielded to attacks on history that our sources have helped us make. That is your common intellectual record, and it must remain sacrosanct. We keep the faith with our sources, whose anonymity and courage always humbles us. We are objective, but we are not neutral. We are on the side of justice. Objectivity is not the same as neutrality. We're objective about the facts when it comes to reporting and not distorting facts. But we are not neutral about what kind of world we would like to see. We want to see a more just world, and this means giving people access to the information that is the power behind justice. Without this free flow of information, an organized minority will always dominate a disorganized majority. That means that most people cannot participate in power, and until people can participate in power, we will not have a just world. These ideas are not new. This basic notion really stems back to Madison, who said that if a people mean to be their own rulers, and given that knowledge will always rule ignorance, the people must have the power that knowledge will bring. In 2006, in a letter to our people, I wrote, "Every time we witness an act of injustice and we ourselves do not act, we train our character to be passive in its presence, and thereby lose all ability to defend ourselves and those we love. In a modern economy and in a modern communication state, it is impossible to seal oneself off from injustice. So we must act. And if we live only once, then let it be a daring adventure that draws forth on all our powers, because men in their prime, if they have convictions, are tasked to act upon them. Our work at WikiLeaks has surprised many people, including some journalists who have reacted in a hostile manner, and I would argue in a manner hostile to the basic ethics of journalism, which is to hold power to account. We come from a long line of free speech traditions. These go back in the UK to the time of the English Civil War of the 1640s. I pointed out in the New Statesman recently, guest edited by Jemima Goldsmith, that a man named Clement Walker wrote about how the press at the time of those struggles was rousing the population into action. He wrote, "They have cast all the mysteries and secrets of government, both by kings and by parliaments, before the vulgar, like pearls before swine, and have taught the soldiery and the people to look so far into them as to ravel back all governments to the first principles of nature. They have made the people thereby so curious and so arrogant that they will never find humility enough to submit to civil rule." He was right, of course. And John Pilger, who I see has just joined us, put it right when he said in Sydney that it is not WikiLeaks the United States government is afraid of. It is not Julian Assange that they are afraid of. What does it matter what I know? What does it matter what WikiLeaks knows? It matters not at all. What matters is what you know. And these organizations are scared of what you know. And they are scared of what the general population knows, and they want to put a stop to us because they want to put a stop to you knowing. And the great Australian historian Humphrey McQueen said at a recent rally in Canberra, defending me and WikiLeaks, that a free press was won by London radical printers such as Richard Carlyle, who along with more than 100 tradesmen and others went to prison for a total of 200 years between them. The rights that we now take for granted were all won by struggle. The tally would have been even greater had London juries often not refused to convict. So our free speech rights are also a product of the jury system, something that is absent, you may note, in extradition cases. And the governors in New South Wales and Tasmania had a long history of imprisoning newspaper editors. Once again, those editors continued to publish even though they were continued to be imprisoned. And we might ask, where are the newspaper editors today who will risk being imprisoned for their craft? Those radical publishers and activists took matters into their own hands by embodying the freedoms that they wished to see. They did not suffer, as Rudolf Rocker says, the ruinous delusion that salvations will come from above. That's what we hope to change. Give people everywhere who have information from below the tools and the knowledge to change their world. The democratic implications of the material released by WikiLeaks are only just beginning to be seen. People everywhere are clamoring for materials relevant to their cause or country. Initially, we partnered reasons of realpolitik, with a small number of very large media organizations. But since then, we have been working alongside a much larger range of media organizations and non-profit groups, from Global Witness to Amnesty, to small groups working in Latin America, giving them access to hundreds, or some cases thousands, of documents relevant to their regions or causes. We now have 73 partners from El Salvador to Lebanon publishing in their own language, exposing the corrupt in their own countries and without. I and my staff are very grateful to the Sydney Peace Foundation for honouring us with the Gold Medal for Peace and Justice, not because it is merely an accolade, but because it is a certification to attract the support of people like those in this room who are committed to bringing peace with justice. In the same way, we believe it is a certification to bring the hostility of people who oppose the people to peace without justice. It is a sign that we are doing what journalists ought to be doing every day: afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted, as Chicago writer Finley Peter Dunn once put it. And the comfortable have certainly been afflicted. There are those task forces that I spoke of, and illegal calls for me to be arrested or assassinated as a terrorist. But to terrorise politicians is not to be a terrorist. Governments that have no intention of applying the precautionary principle when it comes to protecting the environment, assert it when it comes to our activities. They conjure up hypothetical scenarios and claim that our stories may someday hurt someone somewhere. And yet they have refused to provide any evidence over 4 years of any actual harm. For my staff and me, WikiLeaks will always strive to be an intelligence agency of the people, and will always, as long as whistleblowers are willing to act as heroes, act merely like decent human beings.